So let's begin our weekend in James with the very last two verses of the letter, chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. So let's think first of all about the danger in these verses, and the danger is wandering off. I want you to imagine yourself, you're driving down the motorway, it's late, you're feeling a bit, you know, do I need to stop for a coffee? And then you see him. It's the driver in front of you, and he's beginning to drift almost imperceptibly, but yeah, he is drifting towards the hard shoulder. Yeah, no doubt about it. That sleepy head is drifting. That is the image we've got here in verse 19. That's the clear and present danger here in these last two verses. And that's the scenario that the whole letter is written to address. The Christian veering from the true course, wandering from the truth, drifting away from the Christian gospel that we've received and believed. And this letter describes a particular way that it might happen. Wandering, this danger, wandering off, it begins by being double-minded, looking in two directions. Or our series title for this weekend, being caught in two minds. Can't make a choice between two options. Influenced by two ways of thinking about something. Wavering. Double-mindedness in James, as we're going to see, is it's about being a Christian and yet at the same time being enticed by the world and its attitudes and behaviours. Living a double life, if you like. Those of us who grew up as in a Christian home, our teenagers kind of classic, that sort of Christian teenager is a classic example, isn't it, of living the dual life. What you appear at school and what you appear at church and in the youth group and so on. Walking with your feet in two camps, limping along, drifting, wandering off. Now, notice the question is not, am I drifting? Am I wandering from the truth? The question here in these verses is, do I know somebody who is wandering like this? Do I know somebody who is in this kind of danger? Because the need, secondly, that this verse, these verses talk about, is the need is bringing back. So if the danger is wandering off, the need is bringing back. You need help to come back. And you'll see that that phrase, bring back, comes twice in our two verses. There needs to be a search and rescue helicopter sent to find the wanderer and bring him back. And according to these verses, who is the person who is to do the bringing back? End of verse 19, someone. There's a story told about four people. Their names were everyone, someone, anyone, and no one. And there was an important job to be done, and everyone was sure that someone would do it. Anyone could have done it, but no one did it. Someone got very angry about that because it was everyone's job. Everyone thought that anyone could do it, but no one realised that everyone wouldn't do it. And it ended up that everyone blamed someone when no one did what anyone could have done. Look again at our verse. If someone brings him back, someone. So anybody could do it. But will it be the case that everyone thought that someone else would? And you may feel, yeah, but it's not really our place, is it? Am I my brother's keeper? You may think, well, it's not really my place to judge. Remember, Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged. And I'm not supposed to be pointing out the speck in my brother's eye when I've got a log in my own. Except Jesus did go on to say, didn't he, take the log out of your own eye and then you will see clearly to be able to take the speck out of your brother's eye. No, we really are our brother's keeper. We really do have the job. We all have the job. Someone has the job. All of us have the job of bringing back the wandering sinner. I reckon there are two problems with this. The first is that I'm too frightened, embarrassed, shy to go to somebody and do the bringing back. And the other danger is that we do it, but we're insensitive or pushy in how we do it. And I think I've probably been guilty of both of those at different times. We do need to be brave, and we do need to be gentle. Of course, we've got to love people or we wouldn't bother. And it may at sometimes not even be seen as loving at all to be doing it. It could be seen as just interfering. But we do need to do it. We are our brother's keeper and our sisters. It is the responsibility of every Christian, because Christians are family. If the danger is wandering off, then the need is bringing back. And the result, thirdly, and this really is a result, look down at our verses again, the result is a soul saved. Because look what the sinner's soul is saved from in this verse. Do you see where sin leads, according to verse 19? Leads to death, that is, eternal death. Not just the death that we all die at the end of our lives, but here, do you see, it's the opposite of salvation. You are either saved or you face death. And look at the way the last phrase describes this, that the sin of the wandering sinner is then covered. Actually, a multitude of sins, loads of them, they're all covered. Covered doesn't mean that there's a kind of a cover-up. You know, God doesn't shove our sins under the carpet and say, shh, keep it quiet, you know, you and me, let's pretend about them somewhat, shall we? Don't tell anybody else. No, covering is a lovely word from the Old Testament to describe forgiveness. God covers sin. It's a bit like you're out for dinner and you've got to that thing of who's going to pay at the end of the meal. Are we going to split the bill or whatever? And somebody takes the bill and says, don't worry, I've got that covered. That's exactly what God says. Don't worry, I've got those sins covered. Psalm 32 says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. And I can have a part to play in that. See, what I do can change the destiny for a wanderer. He can be saved from death if I bring him back. Actually, look again at this verse. We're very used to talk about God saving us, about Jesus being our saviour through dying for us. Isn't this verse interesting? Who does the saving in this verse? We do. Can you see that? I mean, obviously, we can't be each other's Jesus, the saviour. We can't be the architect of somebody else's salvation. But we can save from spiritual death. And that's why it's such a crucial ministry. That's why we should all do what these verses say, to be sinners bringers back, to be wanderer savers. Now, obviously, over the course of this weekend, we will be making the application lots and lots to be thinking, am I a wanderer? And that's a right application. I just think it's helpful to see right at the start of the weekend that as well as that application, there is also the thought of what can I do to bring back a wanderer? So you see in these verses, the danger is a fellow Christian wandering off. And the need is for a someone to do the bringing back, for us to do it. And the result, the soul of the wanderer is saved. Let me pray as we start this weekend in James together. Our Father God, thank you for what we've seen in these two verses. Thank you for the way that you help us to think about the reality, the real potential, the danger of wandering away from you. We don't want to wander from the truth, and we want to do all we can to help one another, to bring one another back, to save souls from death, for a whole load of our sins to be covered by you, the perfect sin coverer. So please will you, as we think about this whole issue of double-mindedness this weekend, this whole danger of wandering, please help us not only to be applying it to ourselves and to be challenged for ourselves, but also to be taking on that responsibility for one another, to want to bring back wanderers, that souls are saved and sins covered. So please help us this weekend. Please speak to us from this book of James. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.